Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to Q2 FY23 earnings conference call of Isjet Heavy Engineering Limited. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touchtone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Ashwani Sharma from ICICI Securities. Thank you, and over to you.
Yeah, thank you. Good day, everyone. On behalf of ICICI Securities, I would like to welcome you all for the Q2 FY23 earnings conference call of Isjet Heavy Engineering. Today the management is being represented by Mr. Aditya Puri, Managing Director, Mr. Kishore Chatnani, Whole-time Director and CFO, and Mr. Sanjay Gulati, Whole-time Director and Head of Manufacturing Unit. We'll start the call with the opening remarks on the results and outlook by Mr. Puri. Post that, we can have the Q&A session. I would now like to hand over the call to Mr. Puri for his opening remarks. Over to you, and thank you, everyone.
Thank you, Ashwani. Good afternoon, everyone, and thank you for joining us on our earnings conference call. I hope that you and your loved ones are all well and safe. We look forward to a fruitful interaction. You would have seen the quarterly financial results that we have published earlier today. We've also uploaded our presentation on the BSE, NSE websites and on our own website, www.isjet.com. This was done earlier today. There is also much more information about our business on our website. The standalone revenue for Q2 FY23 is 1,160 crores rupees compared to 1,172 crores rupees in Q2 FY22. The standalone revenue for the half year ended 30th September 2022 is 2,158 crores rupees, which is about 9% higher compared to 1,986 crores rupees for the half year ended 30th September 2021. Standalone profit before tax for Q2 FY23 is higher at rupees 57 crores against rupees 31 crores for Q2 FY22. Further, for the half year ended 30th September 2022, the profit before tax is rupees 97 crores, which is about 93% higher compared to rupees 60 crores for the half year ended 30th September 2021. The consolidated revenue for Q2 of FY23 is 1,516 crores rupees, which is about 10% higher compared to 1,379 crores rupees for Q2 FY22. Also, for half year ended 30th September 2022, the consolidated revenue is 2,765 crores rupees, which is 10% higher as compared to 2,513 crores rupees for 30th September 2021. The consolidated profit before tax for Q2 FY23 is rupees 49 crores compared to rupees 14 crores for Q2 FY22, and the consolidated profit before tax for the half year ended 30th September 2022 is rupees 79 crores as compared to 32 crores rupees for the half year ended 30th September 2021. In the standalone results, the profitability is closer to normal both for the manufacturing and the EPC segment. The results have also been helped by receipt of dividends from subsidiary companies during the quarter. In the consolidated results, the profitability is better because of better profits in Isjet Heavy Engineering Limited and profits in Eagle Precision Equipment Company Limited. I will now talk about the order bookings. The consolidated order booking for Q2 of FY23 is rupees 1,508 crores compared to rupees 849 crores of orders booked in Q2 of last year. The consolidated orders in hand on 30th September 2022 are rupees 7,762 crores against rupees 7,518 crores as on 30th September 2021. The order book is satisfactory. Of the consolidated order book, 77% is for the project business and 23% is for the product business. The order book includes rupees 832 crores for export orders, which is about 11%. The order book for Isjet Hitachi Zosen is also good. It has 801 crores of orders as on 30th September 2022. The overall demand trend is encouraging as the inquiry position continues to be good. Export inquiries have picked up. As informed earlier, we have started construction at the Cavite Biofuels Ethanol plant in the Philippines, and we are expecting it to be completed by July 2023. We are working on developing the feedstock in preparation for running the plant from August 2023. My colleagues and I will be happy to answer any questions. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Ladies and gentlemen, we will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. We have our first question from the line of Nitin S. Dharmawat from Aurum Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you for the opportunity. So I wanted to understand what is the contribution that we are having from the government sector now in the revenue, and what is our target to bring it down further? Does it remain same as we have stated earlier?
So if you notice in the order book, we have mentioned that we have public sector orders of 44%. Of the total order book, 44% is coming from the PSU sector. So yes, we are targeting to reduce it a bit, largely because we are looking at shorter duration orders. So we not really because we have any other issue with the public sector orders, but largely because some of their orders are longer duration, so we would like to bring it down. So presently order book is 44% from PSUs, largely central PSUs. There are two orders from state PSUs also. We don't have any order directly from the government.
Okay. And how is the payment over there, the receivable numbers from the government side?
So there is no difficulty in receivables, in collecting receivables which are due. The issue that we have been talking about in the earlier calls is that most of the PSU orders have payment terms which are linked to milestones.
Correct.
So while we continue to supply material and cement and so on to the sites, it's only after certain construction or erection milestones are done when the payment becomes due. So the idea of looking at a lower number of PSU orders is to look for better cash flow.
Got it. And my second question is about the debt. So what is the consolidated debt that now we have?
Consolidated debt, give me a second. The consolidated debt is 1177 crores as of 30th of September across all the group companies. This was 1205 at the end of March 22.
Okay. And what is the plan to repay the debt?
So we have, in terms of term loans, we have about 100 crores of term loans for the Saraswati sugar mills, which is for the ethanol plant that we established last year, in December last year.
Okay.
And Eagle Press has a term loan outstanding of about 30 crores or so. And the other term loan is for the Cavite Biofuel Philippines plant. The rest of the borrowing is working capital borrowing.
Okay. And you mentioned about the export inquiries. So these are coming from any specific geographies?
Mostly Southeast Asia, Africa, and Central America.
Sorry?
Southeast Asia, Africa, and Central America.
Got it, sir. Thank you so much. If I have any additional question, I'll come in the queue.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, to ask a question, please press star and one on your phone now. We have a question from the line of Digant Haria from Green Edge Wealth. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. So firstly, we've seen some improvement in the operating margins sequentially. Is it largely because we have a large revenue coming from the product side, or is it that, the mix is, of that low margin orders that we had taken in the material handling and railway segment, have they run off?
Yeah. So the margin has increased in both the projects and the products business. And your second hypothesis is also correct, that the low margin projects are slowly their mix is reducing.
Okay. And so fair to say that going forward the margin should only continue to improve because the raw material prices are now probably stabilized or they are down versus what they were 6 months back, and we have also consciously become more agile in terms of our pricing. Fair to say that next 2-3 quarters we will see margins improving projects.
You're right. It should.
Okay. And then my second question is that in the products division, this time we had a very large revenue, more than 500 crores. So, is there any pattern, seasonality, or it's just because the auto sector did well? How should we read about this on an annualized basis? What kind of revenue can we do here now on?
So I think this 435 would probably represent a fair average for the year for manufacturing businesses.
Okay. So it was 569 crores this...
On consolidated.
You're right.
Okay. So you are saying that this 569 crores, we should read more like 450 crores as the sustainable quarterly number.
I think we should look at 1,800-1,900 crores for the full year.
Okay. So, that's a better way to look at it. Okay. And any update on the, if you can just provide the update on the Philippines plant. I know we started construction last quarter, but how is it progressing, and, what is the P&L impact per quarter which comes because of the, we have to pay the staff and the security and everything there?
So we've started the construction, and our target date was at that time also to finish it in a year's time, and we are still sticking to that. The current schedule also shows that
we will be completing by July 23, and we expect to start the operations in August 23. And on the numbers about the quarterly, so there is a quarterly cost of about 9 crores per quarter, which is largely for salaries. This quarter there was a large payment for insurance of the plant also. And there has been some impact of the currency depreciation between peso dollar and rupee.
Okay. But so this quarter specifically, it's more than 9 to 10 crores
a quarter, and obviously once the plant starts, then that expenditure will go into revenue for that company.
Okay, perfect. And then last question, if I may ask, that in terms of the end markets, how are we seeing the demand and the pricing environment? If you can give a slightly more elaborate answer in terms of, how is the ordering looking, and how are the negotiations happening with the customers, for yourself as well as, slightly more for the whole cycle, CapEx cycle itself?
So CapEx cycle, we think slowly it is turning positive, the sentiment is turning positive. Yes, there are a lot of uncertainties because of the Ukraine war and demand in Europe almost finishing, and expected recessionary conditions in Europe and North America. But as far as India is concerned, demand is holding out, and pricing is also okay. We're not facing any major issues right now.
Got it. So sir, fair to say, like, you know, from hearing, you know, after a long time hearing you, it seems that, you know, the worst of margins and working capital for us both is probably behind, and in the next 12 months we'll see better for both these,
I think your 12 months horizon is a fair horizon to see. Yes, absolutely.
Fine. Thank you so much, sir, and wish you all the best.
Thank you.
We have our next question from the line of Ashwani Sharma from ICICI Securities. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for the opportunity. Sir, one is that if you can, you did mention about strong demand, which is, you know, seeing CapEx is like picking up. But if you could give us some idea on, you know, if you look at your end markets, which sector is, you know, looking more promising, or, you know, they are doing CapEx, if you can, you know, give us some idea over there.
Refineries, petrochemicals, and also certain equipment that we supply to cement plants, you know, there is demand emanating from there, and from the power sector.
Okay.
Power sector in terms of so these are the sectors that are investing at this point in time,
So when you say power, it is it's the government or private?
It is it's a mix of both, but mostly government. Government in power, I include air pollution control equipment also.
Okay. But sir, if I look at how what kind of inquiry pipeline is there currently, and how has it changed over the last 6 months?
I think the pipeline is larger. The pipeline is certainly larger, and it has increased over the last 6 months. It's looking stronger.
Fine, thank you.
The one sector where there is a little deficiency of demand related to automobile sector. There, the numbers are not really on an aggregate level. The numbers are not very promising at this point in time. I mean, say, I think in October the car sales are very close to what they were in October 20.
Okay. Fine, okay. Sir. I'll come back for more questions.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, to ask a question, please press star and one on your phone. We have our next question from the line of Anurag Patil from Roha Asset Managers. Please go ahead.
Thank you for the opportunity. Sir, what portion of our current order books should be on the fixed price basis?
So, all the private sector orders are fixed price. All the export orders are fixed price. The PSU orders, many of them have price variation clauses, which permit price variation for changes in steel price based on the index, cement price, labor index, and some of them and fuel, and some of them also have for variations allowed for copper and nickel and aluminium. But because 44% of the order book is from PSUs, so most of it has price variation clauses. But as we have been mentioning in earlier calls, the price variation, only about 40-50% of the price variation we are able to pass on. Because, for example, steel, which is supplied as structurals, there we can pass on the price variation. But if steel is part of an equipment, then the customer is not able to gauge how much steel is gone into it, and therefore we don't get an escalation on that. Also, most of the price variation clauses are linked to index. So if there is a steel price index, but actually the steel that we are buying is from the best companies, and their prices do not really move exactly in line with the index. So typically we are able to pass on 40-50% of the price variation. And when I say variation, it means increase as well as decrease.
And sir, our low margin legacy projects which are impacting the margins till now, so in the current order book, what can be that portion? Very approx idea will be fine.
It's not really low margin projects. Some of these projects have seen commodity price inflation, and that's caused some reduction in margins. Some of these projects have also seen site work, the time for the execution of the project getting extended because of multiple reasons, starting from COVID and with the customer or ourselves. When you say low margin, it's not that we took those orders deliberately at a low margin, but the margins that we are realizing are lesser than that because of these reasons that I've explained. As Mr. Puri mentioned a little while earlier, in about a year's time, we should be back to normal profitability fully.
Okay. And sir, in our own ethanol distillery, what can be the sustainable margins at EBIT level?
I hope you've noted that we are expanding the distillery capacity from 100 KLPD to 150 KLPD. But I don't have an EBIT number on that readily. Let me look for it. I'll try to answer it if I can find it soon.
Okay. So, sir, this expanded 150 KLPD capacity, already it is operational or it is in work in progress?
It is work in progress. It will get operational sometime by the end of January 23.
So, but also we have to clarify over here that we will be going to 150 and we will be doing, we will be reducing the number of days the distillery will run, which will give us efficiencies in operations and will pay back. However, our distillery can use various raw materials, and if it is found to be economical, depending on the sugar price and ethanol price, we could extend the season. But as of now, this is more for operational efficiencies and operational to reduce the cost of production of a unit of ethanol.
And for this 50 KLPD expansion, how much will be the capex?
12.5 crores.
Okay, that's it from my side. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Participants who wish to ask a question are requested to press star and one on their phone. We have a follow-up question from the line of Ashwini Sharma from ICICI Securities. Please go ahead.
My question is on now margins. So with, you know, commodity prices showing some signs of softness, what's your thoughts on the margin improvement on a blended basis? If you can touch, you know, individual segments, that will be more helpful.
I do not think that we can give you
I think we see, when we say over a longer period of time, the indication is the same. We have talked about it earlier also. In the manufacturing segment, 8 to 9% is sustainable. In the EPC segment, 5 to 6% is sustainable. Some quarters will have a 1% more, some quarters 1% less.
Okay. And any thoughts on the mix? You know, I think where do you see your mix? I mean, between project and manufacturing. Because earlier when we looked at your number, the mix was, you know, it was more heavy on the manufacturing, and the margins were also better. Do you see that mix again, you know, changing to the earlier number going ahead?
So we are targeting an increase in the manufacturing turnover by about 15% next year. Project business will certainly not be less than this year, but how much that increases, that we'll come to know by the time of the next call. But in manufacturing, we're targeting a 15% increase in revenue.
Okay. And sir, if you could talk about, you know, Hitachi Zosen's performance, How is the order book over there?
The order book is good. We just spoke about it. The order book as on 30th September was 801 crores.
And how was the performance?
So the performance was not very good, and we will just explain to you.
So the performance of Hitech Hitachi for the quarter two was not very good because the amount of billing done was less. But however, the production was good and the equipment are ready for dispatch. A lot of equipment are ready for dispatch and they will be shipped out in the third quarter and the fourth quarter of the year.
Okay. Thank you, sir.
And the equipment not lifted because of the buyer, because the buyer was not ready for the shipment was in his scope and he was not ready for the shipment. So, and we recognize the revenue on sale of good basis that is JK Taxi Zosan. So.
Yeah, fine, sir. I'll come back for more questions.
Thank you.
Somebody had asked earlier about the EBITDA on the ethanol operations. So, for the current year, we are expecting it to be about 11.5%. And once the capacity goes up, we are hoping that it will go to something closer to 12.5%.
Thank you. We have our next question from the line of Manish Goyal, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you so much and very good afternoon. On caveat biofuel, once we start the production next year, so like what can we expect in terms of like what could be like normalized, annualized revenues in that business and what kind of profitability we can see? And will it be only like sugar-based ethanol or how is it, if you can give some guide, number one. And number two, once we commence production by that time, what will be total investment from our side, like from EJEC heavy parent books, how much it will be and what will be the other loan outstanding? That's the first question.
So, in Cavite Biofuels, the annual ethanol production capacity is about 42 million liters. And so the revenue expected from the sale of ethanol and the sale of byproducts is something like 320 crores a year.
Okay.
But it's to be noted that the price of ethanol changes every 15 days. It is fixed by the Philippines government and they take into account the input, the feedstock price. So they take into account the price of molasses and the price of sugarcane. And based on that, the price of ethanol changes every 15 days. So whatever number I gave you just now, 320 crores is likely to be actually going up in terms of revenue. In terms of
entirely sugarcane based, right?
The Kripa plant can run both on sugarcane and on molasses.
So initially, and the Philippines government formula, the National Biofuels Board formula, gives 50% weightage to sugarcane and 50% to molasses.
Okay.
Our plant initially will have less of sugarcane as the sugarcane grows, but after about 3 years, we expect to do 210 days on sugarcane and 120 days on molasses.
Sorry, can you repeat? 110 days on?
210 days on sugarcane and 120 days on molasses in a year.
And sir, by like what could be our peak investments we see in caveat biofuel from our balance sheet, Indian balance sheet, and what will be the total capital employed, sir?
So the capital expansion investment being done now to complete the plant, as I've mentioned earlier, is 180 crores. And this 180 crores is being borrowed from a bank in Philippines. And of course, besides this, the numbers have not changed. We have not given any further money. So There is a 50 crore loan outstanding from us, from ISGEC to Cavite Biofuels, which is earning interest from them. And of course, the original outstanding amount due to us. So the number that I remember is 254 crores. Of course, it changes based on the exchange rate.
Okay. And so margins would be, what kind of margins and what kind of returns we see probably on these projects, sir?
I think we've mentioned, the situation remains the same. We have said that in about 6 years' time, we expect to get all our money back while servicing the bank loans also.
Once the project starts, within 1 year, we get our money back, like 254 plus 50.
Pardon me, I said six years.
Oh, sorry, sir.
Because the bank loans also have to be serviced. So after that, our outstanding, of course, some of it is attracting interest. So it will take us 6 years, between 5 and 6 years to get all our money back.
Okay, okay. And sir, in India, like we mentioned that we are looking to increase capacity from 100 KLPD to 150 KLPD to improve efficiency so that, like, ideally we can optimize the number of days of operation. But are we not probably contemplating to kind of use other feedstocks like rice or any other where we can probably run the plant for the entire year?
For that, some more modifications are required in the plant, so we are not doing that right now. However, we will be exploring the possibilities, not right now, but maybe a year from now, to make the plant fit to run on sugarcane juice efficiently.
Okay. And sir, like what we see from the numbers, if we probably see consolidated standalone and particularly on the manufacturing of equipment, we see a fairly good improvement on the profitability side. So what could it have been contributed by, like, because I believe we mentioned that Hitachi has not done well. So the improvement would be driven by Eagle Press, or how is it?
Yes, by Eagle Press and Eagle Press, Saraswati Sugar Mills is also done well. Is their profitability is also higher, standalone.
So, Mr. Puri, I was referring to when I probably remove standalone from consol, and particularly on segment for manufacturing of machinery and equipment, I see a 15 crore profit number, which is on YOY basis, which was a loss of 6 crores, and on Q1, it was just a 2 crore number. So, I was just trying to understand that if Hitachi has not done well, is it that
Eagle Press has done very well?
Okay, so this year we expect Eagle Press to report a decent profits. How do we see it? Because annual report still says that it could be a challenging year, and then probably after that we can look at 30% growth.
It has been a challenging year, and it continues to be a challenging year because of car automobile production not going up in North America because of chip shortage. However, we are bullish that once this chip shortage is over, it should be people will start investing. So the next 6 months may be challenging, but the previous 12 months, if I see it, the previous 12 months, it has been positive. The PBT has been positive.
Okay, because the annual report mentions about 30% growth in FY23, so I was a bit curious to get
that. Yeah, but this chip shortage was not anticipated, and this is affecting production, but as of now, the previous 12 months, it's been positive.
And but I'll take
the opportunity for the next one or two quarters may be challenging for Eagle Presses, and we expect the things to improve after that.
And sir, I'll probably last question on Hitachi. Last year the profits were just mere 4 crores as per annual report on a revenue of 331 crores. So can we expect a fair degree of improvement in top line and
margins this year, or it's still challenging and we should expect it only next year? Because our order book has been growing quite well in last few quarters. So
I think the whole impact of the commodity price and all, because these are long duration orders, will be seen next year. This year will be an improvement on last year, but next year we should see a much better improvement.
Thank you so much, sir, for all the answers. I'll come back in the queue. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, to ask a question, please press star and one on your phone. Participants who wish to ask a question may please press star and one on their phone now. We have a question from the line of Ashwani Sharma from ICICI Securities. Please go ahead.
Two follow-ups. First is, if you could give us some indication on the execution timeline for most of our markets like FGD, sugar, refineries, metal, and chemicals.
So FGD is typically a 36 to 50 months. The equipment for refineries petrochemicals can vary. If it is ISGEC, it is normally anywhere between 10 to 14 months. But if it is a joint venture, Hitachi Zosen, it could go up to 21 months. Sugar plants and ethanol plants are normally anywhere between 12 months to 14 months.
And metal?
On the process side, generally the cycle times are lower.
Okay. And fine. The second question I had on the guidance. So earlier you had guided for a 5% kind of a growth. Is there a change in the guidance now?
We also, I remember last time told you that we'll give you final guidance in March. So we'll give you at that time. Right now things are looking are optimistic, but we'll give you a final guidance if we can in March.
So can we assume that this 5% will remain for FY23 in that case?
Yeah, 5% will remain, yes.
All right. Yeah, that were my two questions from my side. Thanks.
Thank you. As there are no further questions, I now hand over the conference to the management team for closing comments. Over to you, sir.
Thank you so much for attending, and keep safe, and thank you, and all the best. Thank you very much.
Thank you. On behalf of ICICI Securities, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines. Thank you.